Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was good to get a win on the road here. It was a Big Ten win. It was one of those things we talked about all week. It was the next challenge for us. And it's our third noon game in a row. We had to come off to a quick start. It was a very, very hot week in Columbus, and I thought the guys practiced hard. And we did a great job, recovery, I thought, the last 48 hours. And then we came out to a quick start again. I thought we ran the ball well, controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Huge punt block by Chris Olave. And then I thought, we sustained in the second half, created some turnovers on defense, and it finished it the right way. So I think that's the next step, and now we got to keep building on it.
We'll open it up with questions. Front row right here, Joey.
Ryan, it seems like Chris Olave and Justin Fields have been on the same page for a couple big plays this season. Long ball today. They've had some other connections earlier this season. What does Chris do that gives Justin kind of a good look?
Well, I think Chris is a really good receiver. When you look back, I guess now, on our last six games, going back to the rivalry game, Big Ten championship game, Rose Bowl, and now these three games, his production's been really good. He's blocked some punts. He's been a threat down the field. He's caught some things underneath. His production's been really, really good. And, I think some guys have really good body language. He's got really good body language. He's got good depth perception. He can time up balls down the field, but he also has strong hands underneath. And so he's worked really, really hard this offseason.
Second row on the aisle, Austin.
I ask this knowing that coaches are never completely satisfied with anything, but that seemed to be all three phases of pretty solid performance there. Are there any flaws in your mind from what you saw out there as you leave the field today?
I thought we missed some deep balls. I thought we had guys open, and Justin missed. He knows he left some yards on the field. But again, I think the maturity of a coaching staff, the maturity of a team is to go find the issues on film and get it fixed. Because as time goes on and we start to play other teams and we get into the thick of the Big Ten, those issues are going to come up. And so it's our job to find them and get them addressed and to really be critical of the players without creating resentment. And that's the key. And I thought we did that last week, and the kids took the coaching, and we got to keep building from here and find those issues because they're there.
Front row right, Pat?
What do you think about your line play both sides so far, Ryan?
Well, I think the O-line the last 2 weeks has done a really good job, and Kevin and Stud have done a really good job preparing the guys, not only with the looks, but just getting them going, just in terms of how they're running off the ball and moving the line of scrimmage. And I thought J.K.'s been running hard. Master's been in there. He's running hard. And that matters as well, because it's one thing to get the guy to the second level. It's another guy to make that guy miss for big plays. And I think the D-line has controlled the line of scrimmage as well. They've created some sacks. Created some turnovers, and we can get teams in a throwing situation. I think it's an advantage of.
Right next door, Rob.
When you're a quarterback's coach turned head coach, I mean, everyone that sort of thinks you're the guru with the passing game. How happy are you about the running game? Because you've said all along that has to be sort of the bread and butter. Just your thoughts on the run game in general.
Yeah, I'm proud of our offensive staff. Start with Kevin, Mike, and Stud, Tony, Brian. We've gone from a passing attack last year to now we're starting to run the ball, and I think that shows the versatility of our offense, and that we can do both. And I think when you can have a balanced attack, it's important, but when you can get that run going, you can really control the game, and I think that's what we did today. That's our goal in any game this year, but. Last year was a little bit different with the win. It was just a whole different set of dynamics. This year, we have multiple tight ends. We got a big veteran offensive line. I think we're creating some depth at running back. And then to be able to do that and throw play action pass is really the idea right here. And so, again, where does it go from here? I don't know. But I remember talking in the preseason, where's the journey? What's this offense going to look like? And we're starting to forge our identity, I think.
Have you always thought that way, or is that not until you got here that the run game really was important as it is?
Well, again, I think so much of it has to do with who you have, and the personnel that you have. The goal is to move the ball down the field, control the game, and score points. And what best gives you that opportunity? And so we're finding that as we go here. You know, I think Justin's doing a good job, and the receiver's doing a good job as well. But it's a different identity, and it's still going to be changing week in and week out.
Front row middle, Bill?
Yeah, you talked about the, or Pat asked you about the lines, offensive line. It's not just the offensive line, it's the defensive line, too, playing without Coop again. The dominance on both sides of the ball with those lines, is that, you know, surprise you? But how, what stands out to you about what each side of the line is doing?
Well, it's something that we talk about all the time. It's something we talk about back in March, you know, and talk about in the spring, in the preseason, is that, you know, we want to dominate the line of scrimmage, and we want to create depth there. We want to have, you know, two and three guys we can put in each position and play with those depth. You know, we think we should be able to win a line of scrimmage. That's where all the battles are won. And, you know, I think today was an example of that. But, you know, this is just 1 week. It has to continue to build as we go, because, you know, we're going to start to see, you know, teams down the road that have really good offensive and defensive lines, and we'll have to keep building on it. But it doesn't just happen. You know, you have to get yourself emotionally, mentally, and physically ready from when you leave that practice field on Sunday all the way to game time the next week. And I think we've done that for 3 weeks, but we can't, you know, skip anything. This, we can't cut any corners. We can't do that as we roll and moving forward. And that takes discipline. You have to make sure you're doing the same thing to your body, the same thing preparation-wise, the same thing with your tips, the same thing with your practice habits, and then we'll keep building as we go.
Hey, thank you.
Go ahead, Bill.
Can you comment on the play of Jamie and Master T, the running back set?
Yeah, I thought they both ran hard. I think that we're going to see some things on film with J.K. that were really good. Maybe a stiff arm and a few things that were really good. I think we're going to see Master running through again, kind of 2 weeks in a row where it's contact made and he's you know, falling forward for 4 yards. Boy, that makes a huge difference. But again, there were holes there. There were holes there. And contact wasn't being made at the line of scrimmage. You know, it was downfield, so tribute to the offensive line.
Front row left, Ari.
Hey, Ryan, after a game like that, do you seek out Jack Puddle on the other sideline and just go, thank you for giving me a reason to discover Chris Olave?
No, but that's a good idea. Probably should have done that. Otherwise, I never would have been there. So it's funny where recruiting goes and how things happen, but that's exactly what happened.
I mean, you just, like, think about, was he somebody, Jack, that you guys recruited?
Absolutely.
For the transfer, when you guys are looking for another guy, because I know that he was in the market at the same time, and is it just, can you reflect just a little bit about, like, just how small this world can be sometimes?
Absolutely, yeah. When he went into the portal, we had a long conversation. We talked for a while, and it just didn't quite work out. The timing didn't work out for us, but we talked for a long time. We talked about Chris. I talked to Chris about Jack, and I didn't get a chance to see Jack today, but his coach, Hauser's a great guy, and he visited us. We went out to the Rose Bowl. Just great people, and you know, Jack's going to have a good career. He's a great young man.
And then one other thing, if you don't mind, with all of that, just everybody knows and is watching him develop as a receiver, but, you know, changing the game, that's with that punt block, that's kind of when things went off the rail for Indiana. When you have a guy that's making plays like that consistently on special teams, you just talk about the value of the, well, all-around game that he has.
Yeah, I think when you look back at the history of Ohio State, especially in the last, you know, 10 years or so, the best players have played on special teams, and, you know, some of these impact is different, you know, and you think about Terry last year, he was a gunner. Think about some of the guys who've been returners or different things. Chris has been these punt blocks. He's tremendous at that, and he just has a knack for it. And when you see what he did last year in the rivalry game and gets another one here, changed the whole game, and that takes complete buy-in. Because, you know, you don't come to Ohio State to play special teams. And that goes to show you how much he appreciates and loves his brothers and his teammates.
Left along the wall, Bill.
Ryan, this is sort of on the lines of what Rob was asking you, but just because of what you all did last year offensively, because of what the conversation was when you got hired, and you got hired to play 17 and trying to regain the past game, I think a lot of people might have just viewed you as a guy who was going to be predisposed to throw the ball around the yard more than he would be to develop a power-style kind of run game you guys have had. Is that the wrong read on your preferred coaching style?
Well, I think when you look back, like even when you know, when I was at Boston College, you know, we lined up with 22 personnel and ran the ball just about every snap, you know, and but that was what fit us then. And then have an opportunity to go in the NFL and really dive into the pro passing game, quarterback play, and having the history of the spread run game, you know, coming up in the college ranks. But then, you know, again, it goes back to what best moves your team down the field. And right now, you know, we feel like we got a hot hand with J.K., the line's blocking people, we got a good tight end, so we're going to keep going with that. And
And again, it doesn't mean we're not going to throw the ball either. I mean, we want to throw the ball. And we got really good receivers. We're going to do that too. But the balanced attack that we're looking for.
And you had talked all summer about how much you guys challenged J.K. and obviously you didn't perform well this year. After the Florida Atlantic game, did you push that even more, or did you sort of let him realize on his own that he needed to be a little better moving forward than he was?
No, I let Tony and J.K. have those conversations. And again, I don't think it was anything bad. I just think there was some funky runs in there. It was a strange game. He got out so early. And so I didn't put too much into it, but I knew he was having an unbelievable preseason. He was running so hard in the preseason. We talked about that, like, you know, in our press conferences. And I was expecting these last two games. And we didn't get it the first game, and it was just, you know, one of those games. But the good news is hard work is paying off for him. And so now, again, it's only three games into the season, so we got to keep building on this because teams are going to adjust, and now we have to make the adjustments.
Well, folks, we only have time for a couple more. Second row, Ray, Doug.
Ryan, I think it was 7-3, you take over early in the second quarter. You go on the touchdown drive, the big pass, you get the punt block, and J.K. had the big run the next drive. You scored 60 points in 6 minutes.
You want to be a consistent offensive team, but when you're really trying to be an elite team, that ability to sort of explode in a short amount of time, how important is that? What do you think of your ability to do that?
Yeah, I think when you can put pressure on a defense like that, you can turn the game over fast. I think that's really good because you want to stay aggressive and you want to play fast. And when you play fast, not much time goes off the clock. So when you're quick striking like that and you can score in, you know, less than 2 minutes, and then, you know, if you strike your defense out there and we get a three and out, and all of a sudden we get the ball back and we're rolling, then that's when I think it can be, you know, really dangerous. But you have to stay aggressive. You know, you have to make sure the tempo is right. You have to make sure that, you know, we're in the right calls and everything. And we have to make sure we're executing. But again, I would just really credit our coaching staff for getting these guys ready to play. I mean, I think that the preparation on offense, the preparation on defense of these guys, there's been a lot of time put into this stuff. And I think we had them in the right calls on defense, and we had them in the right plays on offense, and the kids executed. So, I credit our coaching staff. You know, they did a really good job this week. Again, we just have to keep it going.
And you guys did give it to J.K. a good amount early on. Obviously, again, every game plan is to win the game, whatever the situation is. But is there any component of that that's like, all right, be our guy. Show us who you are. Here's the ball.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been in the program now for 3 years. And, like you said, you know, the veteran guys have to play veteran. And he's a veteran guy. And he's proven it. He is. He's proven that he can be a bell cow. Coming off of last year, kind of split carries with Mike, you know, he wanted to be that bell cow. And you know, he's the guy that gets up in front of the team and speaks before the game, you know, on offense. And he's shown good leadership, and this is a great start for him.
And last question, middle, Clay?
Damon Arnett has talked about pushing the reset button, maybe transforming his commitment, et cetera. What can that play do for him going down the road?
I'm really proud of that kid. You know, he's been through a lot. You know, he had to pass a bunch of classes academically last spring, this summer. And like you said, the press reset, he's given himself completely to Jeff Athlete. And now he's practiced really, really well. He's prepared well. And then to see him make that play, it was awesome. You know, just a few plays before he was out, you know, he got banged around. And, you know, at that point of the game, he could have taken himself out. He went right back in and makes that play. And so, really happy for him. You know, he deserves that play. He's been through a lot, and it's great to get that play for him.
Did you have a good view of that?
What's that?
Did you have a good view of it?
Oh, yeah, I was running down the sideline with him.
Coach, thank you very much.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.